Well, let's pray. Mighty God, we thank you for this morning, for your great faithfulness. How many ways can we say it, Lord? You are good. As we open your word together and as we celebrate the work that you're doing in the life of this church right here and now, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, before I dig into the report, or my report, I want to at least point out that the first two pages of the annual report, the first page is a letter from the president of the Evangelical Covenant Church, John Wenrick, and it's just a very 30,000-foot level reporting of what's going on broadly through the 875 churches in the covenant in the United States and Canada, and our partnerships all over the world. And then the second page is the report of our superintendent, Garth McGrath, who lives in Canton, Michigan. And actually, he doesn't live there anymore. His mom still lives there. But anyway, he works in Canton, Michigan at the Covenant, the Great Lakes Conference offices, and oversees a very large section of ministry. And the Great Lakes Conference, that we call it, even though it extends into Kentucky and Tennessee and western New York. And, you know, I don't know if you think of Kentucky and Tennessee as Great Lakes states. I personally don't, but I'm so glad that they're in our conference. We planted one new brand new church this year in the conference in Auburn Hills. Heard of it? Yeah. Thanks to the Pistons, we've all heard of Auburn Hills. And their former home, I understand. They're not there anymore. But Don Earl Johnson and Cameron Underdown have planted a church there. And Don Earl, and that is his first name, Don Earl. It's not two names. He is just a dynamic and awesome guy, and I'm so glad to be able to call him a brother. Excited for what God is doing in their ministry. Who knows, maybe they'll end up buying the palace and turn it into a church. But probably not, but hey, we can dream. So that's that. But now I want to dig into what we're doing here. And I'm not going to read my report. I wrote it so you can read it. And I know probably most of you won't. But you can take it home and you can read it, because you're going to hear me talk about it. But I'm not going to refer to the page numbers or anything as I talk. I'm just going to speak from the heart. But I want to begin with the Word of God and contextualize why we do things like annual reports and why I think it's so important to contextualize that in the context of worship, because everything is God's. Remembering is an important word. When I think of it in the context of communion, do this in remembrance of me, I like to think of it in terms of we come to the table to be remembered. All the members of the body of Christ come together as one body at the table to remember. Memories are important. We know this, especially when we grieve a lost relationship, certainly through death, but through other means, and all we have left in many ways are the memories, we realize just how important remembering is and how important memories are. And remembering can require some preparation. And in this passage, I see the people of God putting a lot of work into preparing to remember. Because we do it all the time. We prepare to remember. This is why we take photographs, right? Why do we all have photo albums? Those are a preparation to remember, because we know that one day we won't be in this moment anymore, but we'll want to look back on that moment in the future and think of how good that time was. We take pictures of the Grand Canyon, not because our pictures are better than all the millions of pictures that the professional photographers have taken over the years, right? They're not even close, most of us. I mean, Brett, you can get close, but me, no, not with my little phone, right? We take the pictures because we want to remember that we were there. Not because the picture is so great, right? We can find a better picture from some professional somewhere. We want to remember, and we have to prepare to remember, because if we go through that moment, we don't take the pictures. Well, we do have the memories, but we don't have the pictures. So, we prepare to remember. So, this is a preparation that has begun a long time ago for God's people. At the beginning of Joshua, the people of Israel are at a point of transition because their great leader, Moses, you may have heard of him, has just passed on. And now there's going to be new leadership. And this isn't a 4-year term or an 8-year term. This was a long time that Moses was the leader of God's people. And it says in the beginning of Joshua, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, that didn't mean he didn't have any parents. His dad's name was Nun, N-U-N, okay? I want to make a joke about a habit and a nun, but I'm not going to. Okay. The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. God promised generations ago to Abraham that he would bring his people into a land that he would show them. And Moses was called to lead those people out of slavery in Egypt to the land that God would show them. And now we know that they have come so close to that land, and Moses has passed away. He was not allowed to go into that land, but they are almost there. And the sign that they are there will be when they cross the Jordan River. That will mean that they have arrived. Now, there's still work to do, but they have arrived. So God has been preparing for a very long time for this moment, for his people, the people that he, for whatever reason, has chosen to be his people, to enter into the land that he is giving them. And so in chapter 3, verse 7, as Marlene read for us, they step out in faith. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. This is important. The people need to know that I'm with you just like I was with Moses. You're not like a lesser leader. You're not worse than him. I don't want everybody to be saying, oh, I just wish we could have old Moses back. No, no, no. I'm with you just like I was with Moses. I want the people to know that. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Go and stand in the river. Now, the river is in flood stage right now. I don't know how many of you would want to go stand in the Grand River during flood stage. I know there's points in my neighborhood where I just wouldn't want to stand there because I'm afraid I'd be swept away, right? Rivers have currents, you know. You know that. Can be a science lesson too if you need to know that. When you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. So they step out in faith. And this is their call to go step out in faith. Go step out into this river. Verse 15. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Just mentioned that. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, oh man, can you believe it? The water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap. Have you ever seen water pile up in a heap? Anybody? Raise your hand. Okay, good point. Good point. It was flood stage, but it was not the dead of winter in the Nordic. Yes. The water piled up in a heap. No, thank you. I do appreciate that. We want to be thorough. These people that were probably wondering, oh, I'm just going to go stand in the River Jordan. What if it, you know, I'm not a great swimmer, so I hope the current doesn't take me away. But no, as soon as they get there, as soon as their foot touches the water, what happens? The water piles up into a heap. Now, we might call it a dam now, upstream. The water is piled up behind a dam, and the water doesn't come to us, but I don't know, is there a physical dam, or is it just the hand of God, right? God is trying to send a message to the people. I am with this guy, Joshua, just like I was with Moses. They step into the water, and the water parts. You guys remember a story about Moses leading the people and water, maybe walls of water on both sides and people walking? You guys remember that story? Charlton Heston was in it. This is a memorable moment. You remember when we were walking into the promised land and we were all sad, we were grieving because we didn't have Moses anymore and we had this new guy, Joshua, who we knew because he was in leadership, but he wasn't the guy before. But he took over and we were about to cross over the Jordan and we were like, well, how are we going to get across the Jordan at flood stage? And we carried the ark to the water and we set foot in it and the water piled up upstream and didn't touch us. You remember that? That is how you cross the Jordan. Because I wonder if they were wondering themselves, how in the world do we cross the Jordan? What is going to happen? Is everybody a great swimmer? Do we have boats? What are we doing here? We don't need boats. We don't need to be great swimmers. This is how you cross the Jordan. You wait for the water to pile up a great distance away in a town called Adam. Thank you, Adam. The water was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. That is how you cross the Jordan, and that is a moment worth remembering, right? Is that not something worth remembering? The time that the water piled up upstream and we crossed the Jordan into the land and began taking time, spending time in the land that God had promised us generations ago. Israel has 12 tribes. And so representatives from each of the 12 tribes are instructed to grab a stone. And I can only imagine how much of a stone-carrying contest this was between those 12 dudes. I mean, come on, can you imagine? I mean, how could it not? How could it not immediately be like, oh, I can get the biggest stone. Right? I'm going to get that one, right? Stones are heavy, correct? Boulders are heavy. I mean, we want stones. They're carrying them on their shoulders, right? They're not carrying it on their hands. They're carrying it on their shoulder. This is a big stone. Who knows how many people are using some teamwork to try to, like, we'll see how big of a stone we can hoist onto this guy's back, right? But they need 12 stones from the river, from the Jordan, that they can go set up, that they can take to where they're going to camp, where they're going to set up camp on the other side of the river. Wow. They didn't have photography in ancient Israel, believe it or not. They didn't have cameras, digital, 35 millimeter, none of it. They didn't have any of it. So how do they remember? Take the biggest stone they can get onto somebody's back and they pile them up. They build something, a memorial, to remember such an amazing moment by. They prepare to remember. The people who experienced that day, they didn't need the stones, right? They will remember that moment for the rest of their lives, will they not? But the next generation and the next generation after that will need those stones to be reminded, hey, Grandpa, tell me that story. Hey, Grandma. Hey, Auntie, can you tell me that story about how you guys entered the Promised Land, how you crossed the Jordan River that one time? Because I don't remember. And the stones serve as that remembrance for them. Now for us, we have a different world than the Israelites. We have photography, both digital and 35 millimeter, and many other kinds, Polaroid. We have the written word. We have digital printers. We have all sorts of ways that we can remember things. Too many things to remember, right? Anybody have too many things to remember in a day? Oh, all these things that make our lives easier make them harder, right? Amen. Designed to make life more simple. Well, then we can just add more of them because our life is simpler now. So we can complicate it more than we ever could before. So what will we remember as we look back at 2019 at Bretton Woods? What will we remember? I will point out on Sunday mornings, just because, you know, I worked hard on these graphics and I want to show them to you again. These are the six primary sermon series we had last year. In the winter, we looked at the first series was called Abbreviated. We looked at the short version of the Sermon on the Mount in Luke's Gospel. And last week, we were in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, the long version. This was the short version. And it was a beautiful time to just take a few weeks. During Lent, we worked through the book, The Pietist Option, exploring our own roots as a church, as the Covenant Church, in historic pietism and the disciplines that are involved in that, and that was a really fruitful time. In the summer, or the late spring, we did a series on the letters to the churches in the book of Revelation. You may remember that. Dear Laodicea, dear Philadelphia, you remember those sermons as we talked about where the risen Christ was proclaiming these messages of encouragement and watch out. What's that word? Encouragement and warning to the churches in Revelation. Then we spent basically the whole summer in Luke's gospel, stories of Jesus healing people and of people being sent out into the world. Just a lot of Jesus all summer long. It's beautiful. And then in the fall, we dug into some difficult stuff through our series Uncivil. We talked about conflict, trying to lean into it, and how conflict can be a productive thing. And how we can behave like Christians in a world that doesn't know how to do conflict anymore. We know how to yell at each other, but that's not conflict. That's just getting worked up. It's unproductive. How can we be productive and actually get somewhere? And then we spent a few weeks talking about the Enneagram and what motivates us, and we'll have to maybe dig into that a little bit more some other day. But that's what we did on Sunday mornings, and we learned about all that. So, of course, Easter is always a high moment in the church, and that top left is my favorite picture of my 10-year-old. Most of the pictures from Easter were from the Easter egg hunt. We do have that beautiful picture of the cross-dressing. Thank you to Marlene for putting that together, that he is risen. But it's a wonderful time. People come. Everybody's bringing their grandkids and their nieces and nephews on Easter Sunday. It's always beautiful to just have so many people here celebrating. That's a stone worth remembering. This year we spent five or six Wednesdays throughout the year at the Hill Center down on Wise Road on the south side of town, packing supplemental food kits for Lansing children. The number on the corner is 1,245 that night. That group's packed 1,245 weekend survival kits for Lansing school kids. You know, these are packs of food that kids can take home on Friday and have food for their household all weekend long for those who may not be able to afford it. It's a great program, and it's great for us to be able to partner with them. Another great thing that has taken off in the past year is our newly named in 2019, So Crazy Quilters Group. Oh, did I pass it? What happened? Sorry about that. Our newly named So Crazy Quilters Group that meets monthly, unless there's snow, which there's always snow. So one of these days you'll get to meet again, right? And it'll be a beautiful thing. This was from a day where folks from Project Linus were with us, and the group donated how many quilts to Project Linus that day? Remember? 17 quilts. And Project Linus, just, Amanda, I'm going to let you just say what Project Linus does.
They basically give quilts and napkins and any kind of blankets, these blankets that to children in
See, it sounds funny. They're called So Crazy Quilters, but they're doing the Lord's work. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. We had a visit from some missionaries to Germany, Philip and Stephanie Voland. They also have some beautiful girls that they didn't get to bring with them to the church. But they shared about their ministry that they have in Germany and all the things that God is doing there. And we got to eat ice cream. Thanks to Lori Frisbee for that idea. Ice cream social and missionary visit. I mean, that's the best way to be with missionaries, and they loved it too. So it was a great, great time. We prayed with them and look forward to hearing more about what God continues to do now that they are back in Germany after their time here in the States. We've been working for many years trying to connect more deeply with our neighborhood. And one of the ways we've done that is by gifting flowers to as many neighbors as we can right around the 4th of July. We usually do it about the end of June, delivering door-to-door flowers. This was actually on a Sunday morning after church. We planted all the flowers, so we got the Sunday crowd and the Wednesday crowd involved. The Sunday crowd planted the flowers. The Wednesday crowd delivered them that following Wednesday. It was a wonderful time, and a big thanks to Ken Marlin for getting the supplies for us. He has a hookup because he works in the field and gets us the flowers and the soil and the fertilizer and everything that we need to plant that. Another thing that we do every year. Not every church is right in the middle of a residential neighborhood, right? And in many ways, people say, well, if you're out in public, you get more people. But there's one night a year where it's a super huge advantage to be right in the middle of a neighborhood, and that is Halloween, October 31st. We'll get 100 kids walking by this church just for no reason. Well, no, they do have a reason. They're looking for candy. And we give them lots of candy and hot dogs and cider and donuts. And Charlotte, come on. I mean, costume of the year right there. I'm sad she's not here to see this picture of herself. I mean, she's seen it, but it's a great time. Thank you to Brett and Amanda for setting up a photo booth. It is such a fun time to just take advantage of the fact that people are coming by and we make so many great connections. God is on the move. And of course, thanks to Dan and Kathy for coordinating our second annual Christmas festival. It was a great time. There's dancing. There were Christmas trees. And I'm going to let you decide how many grimes are in that picture in the bottom right. I'm going to let you decide. There's a minimum 4, but I don't know. But it's a great, great, great... I don't know who the person in the white is. That's a mystery to everyone. That's a mystery to absolutely everyone. It's a mystery to everyone. Nobody knows. There might be sensitive ears that hear this, so I want to be careful. Yes. So... but we raised over $800 for the ministries of the church through the Christmas festival, and thank you so much for donating stuff to the silent auction and baked goods and crafts, and oh, so much fun. I didn't really have fun. I was super sick. I came in, and everybody was like, go home, Andrew. You look terrible. I said, okay. I think I slept for a while after that. But it was a fantastic year. And, not pictured, I got to do 3 weddings this year. 2 of the couples are right here today, Brian and Lene, Brett and Amanda. The other one was Marcy's cousin, Katie, and her husband, Nick. That was the weekend after Memorial Day. Great to celebrate that new life. And, of course, sad to also preside over 6 funerals this year. 3 community members that I just... I get calls from the funeral home every once in a while asking if I'm available to do a funeral, and when I can, I do. So I did 3 funerals for the community and then 3 for people who connected to the church family. So Joanne's son, Doug, and another family member, Irish. Well, I forgot his first name. I should look at the report. Don Irish, right? Somebody connect. Yes, Don Irish. This year in 2020, another family connected to your family, Randy, Lewis, and that's it's sad, but it's also an honor and a privilege to be able to do that, to walk with families through grief. And of course, the biggest hit to Bretton Woods is our guy, Richard. It's not the same without Richard, but he is probably laughing at me right now, so I'm going to stop it. what a guy. There are just so many people in the body of Christ here who make things go, leaders. Some of you have official titles, some don't. Our leadership team, our volunteers who do nursery and children's church and usher and who sign up for fellowship time and who pick up and who sweep and who mop and who tidy things up and who are just relentless in how much you love and care for this church and the people in this church. Visiting each other in the hospital, checking on people, doing the stuff that if I had time to do, I would do more of, and you guys just step in and love each other. And it is the church, and it is beautiful. Other big events like the block party, you know, we had a great block party this year. More people, I think, from outside the church than ever before. It's so amazing in the life of a church what we can do in a year. We could dwell on our challenges, but we can also celebrate. Oh man, God is good, and he does amazing things through us, and he's not done with us. Last couple verses of the passage Marlene read for us. When your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Because they will ask, what do these stones mean? What does this church mean? What does our life together mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. They're a memorial of the power of God, first and foremost. But they're a memorial to the people. This is the people that you are. God loves you. It's not every day that God draws water up into a pile. He doesn't do it for no reason. He does it because he loves you and he wants you to enter into the gift that he has prepared for you. And not every time we come to the edge of a river will the water pile up and we'll just be able to walk across. That's not going to happen every time. So when it does, remember. Remember. It's a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And that's what this is about. That's what this year is about. That's what life together in Christ is about. Remembering the God who is powerful. He's powerful. He keeps his promises. He said, I'm going to take you across the Jordan River into this land. He keeps his promises. He's here for us. He is faithful. And he cares for his beloved one way or the other. You are never outside the care of Christ. He calls you his beloved children. We are his beloved children. He loves us. He cares for us. And what a gift it is to follow him. So thank you, Bretton Woods Covenant Church. And thank you to everybody who's not here, who can't hear my voice right now, but it's your faithfulness. It begins with Christ's faithfulness to you, but your faithfulness makes this good news continue to grow. We represent the kingdom of God here on earth, and it's an honor to represent that kingdom right alongside you all. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the work that you have done in us and the work that you will do in us. You have been faithful. You are faithful, and you will be faithful. We thank you for your love that never fails and that seems to continuously grow. May your love continue to grow in us. And as we look in every direction, behind to the past, right here to the present, or ahead to the future, may we with 100% certainty agree that you are powerful, that you are faithful to your promises, and that you love us, your beloved children. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.